Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hey, it's Aaron Norris, everybody, and we are here with four. I think this is the most we've ever had in the studio before, and we're doing something a little bit different over the next couple weeks. The Norris Group, over the last 3 months, have launched the Investor Roadmap, and something that always comes up is I think people get a little bit overwhelmed on how to get into the business. They don't know where they start. They don't really realize what they bring to the party. And it's not just about the timing, which of course dictates the activity that investors do to make money, find the deals. But then based on your personality and your experience and how active you want to be in the space and, let's be honest, how much cash you have to play in the business really dictates the strategies that are even open to you. So I haven't taken many of these phone calls over the roadmap, but it literally is like a one-on-one for typically lasts about a half an hour. And I'll give you an example today. I had somebody who was an accountant, but worked for a property manager. And when he filled out the survey, he said that he didn't have any experience and that he was a beginner. And we just decided to explore ideas because he had no cash, but he had all this experience in a unique way, and we were able to uncover some strategies for him. But anyway, all that to say, today is a little bit different. We've got four guests, actually two couples that have been in the business and over the last cycle have gone full time in the real estate investing business. And I think that's very inspirational, and I'm just a huge fan. So instead of me reading a bio, we're just going to go around the room. So if you could tell us your name, and the company or the companies that you're involved with, and we'll just go from there.
All right. Hi, Aaron. My name is Larry French, and I work together with Janet. Our company's name is Silvermoon Real Estate Buyers, and I'm an ex-computer geek, you know, recovery nerd. So I got a couple computer skills that help us in the business, and always love real estate.
And I am Janet French, and before this, I owned a mortgage brokerage, so I was very good, and I love numbers and taxes and finance, so that inspired me to jump into real estate.
My name is Andrea Van Soest, and our home buying business is SoCal Home Buyers, and then we are also spouses flipping houses on the side. And I actually love the design aspect of this business. That's probably the thing I love the most.
Yeah. I'm Doug Van Soest, the other spouse that flips houses. And I'm a recovering appraiser, Larry. I used to be a real estate appraiser, and which was kind of my background getting into this. And so that's me.
Okay. So I think probably the weirdest one, you're the odd man out. You don't have any real estate technically, you know, in your background. So you actually went to school to be an engineer, right?
I have a degree, yes, in environmental analysis. So it's kind of land-based, you know, what I studied in college. And but I grew up in a family where my parents were investors. My dad had a couple multifamily buildings, and I learned a lot growing up in that environment. Something interesting is I learned what not to do. He made terrible decisions. He taught me the importance of property management. He had a full-time job, could never walk away from his job to take care of his buildings. Ooh. And so we saw a lot of meltdowns and how much attention and importance is in property management right from when I was a child.
Wow. Okay. And did you grow up in a family that did a lot of real estate, Janet?
No, my parents were teachers, although my dad did have a couple of rental properties, and it was kind of the same thing as Larry. He didn't really know how to manage them. They were terrible. I mean, I remember going over there one time, and the guy had literally taken apart his entire motorcycle in the living room. So, terrible property management skills.
What kind of bike? Yeah.
Somebody's into cars, too. Okay. Andrea, how about your family?
Absolutely none whatsoever. Yeah. When we were engaged, somebody gave us the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, and it absolutely blew our mind. We were both business majors. They really don't teach that in school. So just reading that book, I think, was a huge mindset shift for us.
Hmm. Yeah. And how about your family?
Farm and ranch.
Like chicken, goats?
Like cows mainly, and alfalfa in New Mexico. But no real estate. That was not, well, unless you consider the farm real estate, but not a real estate background at all.
So how did you guys even get interested in sort of the real estate investing space? Like, how did it, you know, none of you were, I mean, I guess you were the only one with maybe some real rental experience sort of back end. But so when did it hit your palate?
I kind of like the idea of being the guy who owns more than one house. You know, I wanted to be the big shot that had some stuff.
Okay.
And I think that I was with it enough to understand that these other folks, these nice folks that live in these houses, will pay my mortgage off for me. So it was always appealing to me. I'm a very value-based person. I love value. I love saving money. And I like the idea of an asset that covers itself yet still grows. Growing up here in Southern California, I'd seen the values of properties go crazy. And when I wasn't participating, I felt I was missing something.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
For me, when I was in the mortgage business, I was the middle person and I never was able to be the decision maker. And it got really frustrating all the time having to deliver the bad news, especially towards the end of the meltdown there. And I really just got tired of recreating the wheel. I wanted to create a passive cash flow, something that I could set in place now and continue to live on for the rest of my life. So when I saw real estate anyway, because I was involved in it and I knew it was a good vehicle, so that's why I liked it.
Yeah. So how did you get started?
Well, for us, right out of college, we were very entrepreneurial and we started a kettle corn business and quickly realized that we were slaves to this business and we'd kind of gone the wrong route. We'd read this book and got all excited about entrepreneurship, but we really kind of took the wrong road. And so we were after pretty much the same thing, something more passive. Right.
Yeah, Rich Dad, Poor Dad ruined us in a good way. It really did. And from that, our minds were just completely shifted and changed on business, on, you know, working for the man, quote unquote,
right,
and just investing for retirement. And real estate was always ultimately that end game that we wanted to get into, even though we went and did kettle corn for a while.
Yeah.
We knew we wanted to get into real estate in some way.
Think of book titles right now. Kettle corn to, I don't know.
Popcorn to houses. I don't know.
It's just, I always love to ask how people get into it, because I obviously grew up, you know, getting paid like a quarter an hour, probably all these slave labor rules with dad fixing houses, kidding, sort of, and seeing that in the process. But if you would have asked me 15 years ago when I lived in New York, if I was ever going to be in real estate, I would have laughed. I'm like, I'm an artist, get out of here. And I love it. I love being a landlord now, and it's pretty powerful what it does. Yeah. I think the hurdle that I had getting started was in 2009. I was just scared to pull the trigger. And my dad is just not the person who's going to force it on you. Either you do it on your own, he'll give you advice if you ask, but he's just not, you know, he'd hand me the Think and Grow Rich. And I'm like, oh, Dad, you're adorable.
2009 was a scary time.
Yeah, it was.
Remember, Doug, I mean, when we were buying then, we could sense the value with your appraiser training. You knew this was good. This stuff made sense. We were buying at a fraction of what it would cost to build it. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't see the floor.
Exactly. You weren't sure if it was going to continue to go down another 30-40%.
Right. And we came out of a market or a time where we had owned three rental properties that were completely upside down, negative cash flow, buying for the wrong reasons. It was all completely emotional based on appreciation. And so for us, it was just jumping in and knowing that we had to get on the fast train from learning from the right people who knew how to do this business properly and buy the right assets.
Right. And so the year you guys got started, I remember meeting you, I think, in 2009, right? Was that? I remember it was in L.A. I remember we sat down at a restaurant. That's Jen and Larry. I forget. Yeah. They can't see that we're
that's
at a
right.
table.
Yeah,
I'd say our first house that we bought correctly was 2008.
Eight. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And then when did you guys get into real estate?
2008. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We pretty much, I think we heard your dad speak in 2005 and we realized opportunity is coming for us.
Yeah.
And so we continued to learn for the next couple of years. And then 2008 was when we felt like we could jump in.
I literally remember hearing Bruce speak. It was probably 2000, early 7-ish or late 6. And Janet was hosting an event, a work event, a mortgage company event at our house. And I came home from this afternoon meeting after hearing this guy named Bruce Norris talk. And he walked in that meeting with auction books. Like the auctions were just kind of getting going.
Like
it was REDC at the time.
REDC.
And he was saying, we need to, you guys should really consider selling all your stuff. I came home and interrupt Janet's meeting. I go, Janet, we need to sell those three rentals we bought in 2005. And she calmed me down and we decided that wasn't the best thing. Was a terrible, wrong decision.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops. Yikes. Yeah. It's just been such an interesting 10 years. So this is my 10-year. October was 10 years with the Norris Group, and it's been really fun to watch. And there feels like there's a changing of the guard. So we'll get into the journey real quick. You guys have both gone full-time, quit your other jobs, and there's a sense that there's an old guard that's retired. Like, my dad is definitely in conservative mode. He's like, no unnecessary risk. I don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. And then there's people in our age group that are like, ah, let's do it. I want to take over the world. And yeah. How much is enough? And everyone's on a different page. And how do you know when to stop? But so let's go to, you know, that full-time process and how you knew you were ready for it. And I mean, that seems like a scary jump to go from like a W-2. I can't even say that. I still work with the Norris Group and I love what I do. I'm just a property manager on the side. But to go full time in real estate investing, that's something hopefully you're really proud of. That's pretty yeah. cool.
Janet, why don't you talk about what really drove us to get there?
Uh-oh.
Well, what really drove us is we kind of didn't have a choice.
Oh.
So for me, my mortgage company, we shut it down.
Okay.
So we went from a very significant income in my business to nothing. And then Larry was already morphed out of the web design. So we had very little income there. But one of the things that was a benefit is that we don't have kids. Mm-hmm. We didn't even have pets. So we could take a little bit more risk and jump in quicker. But also we figured that if we went and got a regular job, that's not going to cover the bills either. So we were literally stressed. We were down to our last 10 grand, literally.
To our name.
To our name, period.
Wow.
And we were secretly talking about short selling our own home. And we said, this is ridiculous. And one of the things that I've noticed about us as a couple, when we are under financial pressure, we rise to the occasion. And we did. We took it on and did what we needed to do. And we worked 24/7 for many years and got us to where we are now. So it was good, but we just jumped in.
That's funny. Dad always talks about finding what motivates you. And for him, it's pissing him off. So I don't know if you want to be on the brink of financial destruction to be able to turn that on.
I don't want to do it again.
And I don't recommend this to the listeners. Don't lose don't go to Vegas to put yourself in so you have nothing so you can get motivated.
As a means to motivate you.
Yeah.
So what year was that you decided, hey, let's dive in?
2009 for me, full time.
And I had already started full time in 2008, leading up to 2007-06. My web development business, really outsourcing, was really coming into its age at those times. And there was great smart engineers in Ukraine and Philippines that were able to work for $9 an hour. I couldn't produce good content or good product and compete with that here in the States. And I didn't want to become an outsourcer. And it also involved managing a lot of folks, which I wasn't excited to do. So it was time. It was time. I already loved real estate. You know, let's do it.
So with 10 grand in your pocket, you guys were able to make this work. That seems almost undoable. So how did we make that jump?
So this whole journey, we've never got a conventional loan ever. We were able to do it by raising private financing, building good relationships with folks, and most of all, the most important thing, attending local real estate clubs, non-guru style clubs, and meeting people in the industry that know what they're doing and love to help and love to share, and then going seeing smart trainers like the Norris Group organization and a handful of other ones out there that really help change our lives and get us doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. Shameless plug, thank you. You know, it's changed a lot too, because when I first came on, there was a lot of that run to the back of the room and all that kind of stuff, but I always tell people finding the right club is like a church. It's like you just have to try them on because every personality is different behind the ship, and you just have to find one that fits. But the culture has totally changed. It's the for investor by investor model, where it's more roundtable. There's not as much product selling at the front of the room, and so
it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. It's a lot more productive, and people are willing to help. So you guys have been doing a little bit more of the creative stuff, mailers. Let's see, if you were really starting to get busy in 08, 09, how were you sourcing deals? So raising private money, and was it like auctions? Was it?
Yeah, we did do auctions, of course, and trustee sale. And then we have always done mailers. We have never stopped doing mailers. But I have to tell you, we're not super consistent about it. Mm-hmm. We do them. We kind of turn it off and on as we, you know, find that we want to, and we tend to mail to specific neighborhoods where we're looking for a specific type of rental house. It's rare that we market like that for a flip, but it's just been the relationships over time, really.
Interesting. And do you think a lot of those started because of your old business relationships in the mortgage industry, or ones you built from scratch?
No, 100% from scratch. And I can't tell you how valuable this is, and it's not something that was intended. But when we moved into the neighborhood where we live now, I started volunteering quite a bit. I volunteered for our local Philharmonic group, which raises money for the local music programs. and Kiwanis. And just through that, not promoting our business at all, people get curious and ask you what you do. And over time, we built that trust because they saw that we were there giving back, socializing. And you know we love a good party, so we're always having our parties.
They throw good parties, too.
And that has made a huge difference for us. It's really, now we're down to about three or four people that we work with, private, you know, private financing. And it's been wonderful for both sides.
That's great. It's so important. I don't think people, but it's not everybody's skill set. So, you know, there's plenty of people in my family that they want to do trustee sale. They want to be a builder and they don't want to have to work with people dealing with problems and where that's, I just love that. If I had more time. So, all right, well, let's switch gears and talk to you guys how you sort of made that switch and when.
I would say about 6 months after our first flip, we went full time.
Yeah. No, our first flip was in late 2008.
Yeah, so, and early 2009, we pretty much went full-time. And, you know, Doug was appraising full-time prior to that. The writing was on the wall for the appraisal industry with the HVCC and all the changing laws. Our income was really about to be cut in half, working harder for less. And so
it was kind of a natural progression.
It was a no-brainer. We've also had a pretty healthy tolerance for risk.
We did sell everything and go sell popcorn for a living, so we didn't really have a problem diving in and trying to buy houses and sell them. And it just kind of was natural. We were in that field already. We were sort of phased down the appraisal and just really ramped up trying every day, trying to scour the MLS is what we were doing at that time, and just make offers, go look at properties and make offers.
Okay. So a lot of yours was just relationship building, MLS, beating them up. So REOs and short sales?
Yes.
It was,
Pretty much REOs.
Mostly REOs and agent relationships. And
oh, remember those times? REOs? Remember that?
The good old days.
So nice.
What does that stand for?
Yeah, right? Rio? What? Yeah, it's changed so quickly. And because we do the hard money loan side, we see where a lot of the deals are coming from. And it certainly has changed more to people with equity. And so have you switched gears recently or?
Oh yeah. We haven't bought an REO since maybe 2011.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe one since then. It is 95% direct to owner now.
We started mailing probably a little earlier than most people. And we've just haven't stopped trying to stay as consistent as possible.
How often are you mailing?
Usually every week. Sometimes we'll miss a week here and there, but it's about three mailings a month. And a pretty good chunk of mail. So we do a lot of direct mail. Yeah.
You're keeping the post office alive.
Yes, we are.
We're doing our part.
You and Amazon, right? Okay, so mailers. It's funny because during the boot camp, we do this section where, especially when it comes to mailers, and I know one of the strategies when you have a male and a female partner is that you can play both sides of the coin. Some people are more comfortable talking to the female and the partner, male. Have you guys run into that at all?
No, but we get less angry calls when we have a photo of our family on there.
Yeah, we've noticed that.
A lot less angry calls.
If you're going to yell at me, you're also yelling at my kids here.
That's great.
You know, it really does help soften the blow.
That's a good strategy.
I guess we need to hire some kids.
Yeah.
Does your copy incite anger?
It's funny. I mean, you know, people can get angry for, I don't know why, but sometimes when you're...
They just are
when you
angry.
Just say, I'd like to buy your house, that can anger people. And so now we're getting a little bit more, open with, hey, this is us, this is what we do, you know, and it just, people respond differently to different types of mail pieces. So I wouldn't say one's better than the other, but...
Now we had Michael Quarles on the show a couple weeks ago. I got to interview and we talked a lot about cluster marketing. And since we're on mailers, I know we're probably going to go off topic a few times, but you guys both do mailers. Do you believe in the concept of cluster marketing and sending multiple pieces of mail to the same location, or is it sort of one and done and you're on to a new list?
No, we will re-hit the same neighborhoods over and over for years.
Okay.
Our market is a small, 11 cities that all touch each other in a small valley. And so we'll start at the top and hit that neighborhood and the next one next to it. And it might take us a year to get back to it, but they're going to get the exact same piece. Our piece hasn't changed ever.
Oh, so you say I'm the exact same thing.
And we're not, we don't put a lot of effort into marketing. Janet and I, neither of us enjoy marketing much. So our marketing volume is small. Our mailers the quantities are small. And it's just, it's an adjunct or it's a sideline to the rest of our business, which is finding them via relationships and, wholesalers, other ways we get, but marketing has never been a big business for us.
It's a business in itself. I mean,
it is. It's amazing.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I have to email Michael back because the second part of that I knew we wouldn't get through everything is the systems to follow up. And I know he uses virtual assistants and a lot of scripts. And, you know, he sends up to 6 pieces of different mail to every house. Banking that, you know, if it was him picking up the mail, he would open up something that looks like a bill, where his wife would be attracted to your beautiful family and a puppy, by the way. I think, forget the kids, you know.
Yeah, a dog will do just as good.
A dog. Okay. A lot of people are, oh man, we only have 4 minutes left. I told you it goes fast. Oh. Yeah, dogs or cats, it could work. The mailer's for you guys. So do you mail quite a bit. So how do you manage that?
We mail quite a bit, but we're looking more for a type of owner or a type of property versus just like a specific neighborhood. So they will get multiple mail pieces from us, and maybe it's every 3 months, maybe it's every 6 months. It kind of varies, but yes, we will probably mail the same house, you know, multiple times during a year or 2 years.
Different pieces or the same piece?
Depends. If they call us, then they get put into a follow-up system where they'll have like 35 touches over the next year of different types.
Okay. And I know you guys are more on the web as well, so you're sort of branching out to not just mailers, but have you found the website to be a helpful piece of the mix?
Absolutely.
Yeah, more and more so lately. We get a lot of, we've been doing a lot of SEO, you know, search engine optimization.
What? Yeah.
And people are now finding us. So we get quite a few leads now through our website. So we're really glad that we
I did some keyword searches and you guys showed up first. I'm all, watch out. Yeah, that's what I speak a lot on is SEO and SEM. And I always start the conversation saying, I don't know if I'll ever feel like an expert because it's all changing so quickly.
Yeah, it is.
Facebook, Google, they're updating their algorithm, and there's some, I think Google alone isn't like 100,000 different pieces of the algorithm that they're updating, so it's really frustrating. Yeah. Well, before we end the segment, let's just do, if you had one piece of advice for somebody thinking about getting into the business right now in this market, what would you tell?
I would say decide what kind of asset you want. And what kind of asset's going to get you to your eventual goal down the road. So you may say, my eventual goal is never have a job. Well, that sounds like you may need some rentals or something that produces cash flow. If you don't have the holding ability for rentals, then your asset might be a flip to start with and then transition later. But think about the specific type of item that you're going to be pursuing. If you don't know what it is, you're going to be looking all over the place. You'll never get anywhere.
I would say that don't be scared to get in. And if you are, I understand that, but just partner with somebody who's had a lot of experience because they will share their knowledge with you and they will also gain from the partnership.
Especially if you're willing to work.
That's right. Exactly.
It's one of the things I always tell people. I'm like, you're not giving yourself enough credit. This isn't your asset. Leverage it. And they're like, oh. I'm like, if you try to find a partnership and you don't feel like you bring anything, like, why would anybody want to work with you? Yeah. All right, Andrea.
I would say just start and take action. I think that educating yourself is very good and reading books, but then don't get hung up on all the small details. You have to really just do something.
Yeah, I would kind of mirror that. Take, you know, calculated action, not action like I'm going to go get a business card or I'm going to go get the right business name and I got to get an office and I got to get, you know, my file cabinet and I got to get everything set up. Not that kind of action, because that can come later. That's not going to get you a deal.
I'm that kind of person that I can educate myself to death, and I feel like I have to get my broker's license first, and then I have to get this certification, and you just never pull the trigger, and I kick myself for not starting sooner with buying rentals. It was just stupid, because I was stuck. I was scared and was just afraid to pull the trigger. So anyway, we're running out of time for this segment, so if you want to go around the table, Janet and Larry, how can we get a hold of you if we'd like to do so?
You can find us on the web at silvermoonco.com. Somebody took silvermoon.com, so I had to stick the co on there.
No. Cyber squatting.
It's probably a little expensive. Buyer.
You can also find us. Larry and I run the Coachella Valley Real Estate Investors Association. We meet in Palm Desert the second Tuesday of every month. And you can find us there at CVREIA.com.
It's a great club, too.
Yes, it is. All right, Doug and Andrea, you're next. Where can we find you?
And we are at spousesflippinghouses.com.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And you have your own podcast now, which is very awesome.
Yes, we do.
Your website looks great too. So with that, we'll close the show and we'll move on to next week.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.